Hi, this is Alan Nelson, your host for Rev Audio Magazine. Our guest today is Dave Olson, a researcher for the Covenant Church and author of The American Church in Crisis. Hey, we're glad you're here. Hey, talk to us just, you know, about big picture stuff, and then we'll sort of unpack it a bit. Why the title? What do you define? How do you define crisis?
Well, I am not a doomsayer type of person, and so I really am an optimist. But I'm primarily an optimist in the power of God and the power of the gospel. On the other hand, the American church, I think, is facing some very challenging times right now, especially in the new millennium. Since 2001, you see church attendance declining at a much faster pace than it did before. You see some groups doing quite well, but a lot of groups are struggling. Established churches over 40 years old are struggling. Mid-sized churches are struggling. So for a lot of churches, if they were truly honest with themselves, they would say, this is a very challenging time to do Christian ministry right now.
Well, help us understand. I know you just got back from Europe, and some people are saying, oh, we're going the way of Western Europe, you know, of empty cathedrals, etc. Is it going to get that bad? I hear other optimists who say, no, we're just a different culture, different situation. What's your read on that?
You know, I think we are a different culture and a situation. I think one of the issues in Europe is that most of the churches historically have been state churches, and obviously there's a lot more free market Christian activity that goes on in the United States. On the other hand, a lot of the cultural and philosophical things that have sort of struck Europe end up coming over here. My observation is it's usually 40 or 50 years later when we feel the same impact as it was felt earlier on in Europe or in Great Britain.
Well, let's talk about some of the statistics. You said that the decline is happening faster. Just give us a barrage of statistics that gives you this indicator that we're in for some tough road.
Let me give you a little background of what I try to do as I did this research. Typically, research on the American church has been done through opinion surveys, and George Barna and George Gallup are the two most prominent ones on that. The problem with this is that people, when they are asked questions, sometimes want to make themselves look better to the interviewer than they really are, and so they overestimate certain behaviors. And there's three areas where that overestimation happens. It's in politics, religion, and sex. You might call those the big three. And so what has happened for about 15 years in religious research studies is there have been articles coming out in professional journals coming up with the recognition that the number of people that actually attend church is far fewer than the numbers that report they attend church on any given weekend to opinion surveys. That number usually is between 40 and 47%. Now, my research looks only at what would be called in the broadest sense Orthodox Christian churches, and that's the large, large percentage of Christian churches. I do not keep track of non-Orthodox groups. That would be like, for example, Latter-day Saints or Jehovah's Witnesses, and I do not keep track of non-Christian religions. But for Orthodox Christian churches, which would be about 90% of attendance at a house of worship on a Sunday, the actual percentage in 2007 that attended church was 17%. So it's really way lower than what the surveys report to us.
Okay, now let me interrupt here because there's a plausible joke line here. These people are going to church, but they're lying about how often they go to church. Is that right?
You know, when the research has investigated why this is, it's not so much people who don't ever go to church or are pretending they do. It's people who go to church now and then or even a little more frequently who, in their mind, are attending a lot more often than their bodies are attending.
You know, I used to be a pastor, and I sometimes would show up in my mind and not my body, or vice versa. Well, talk to us more about who's gaining, who's losing, regions, denominations, what? How far does it break down?
Well, let me give you a little something first that'll help you perhaps understand the real challenge. The American church actually is stable in church attendance, and that's because there are some groups that are declining and some groups that are growing, and I'll tell you about those in just a minute. But here's the really challenging thing to me. In 1990, between 51 and 52 million people attended church on any given weekend. In 2007, between 51 and 52 million people attended church on any given weekend. But the amazing thing is between 1990 and 2007, 55 million more people live in America now than did in 1990.
Hmm.
And so what's happening is that in one sense we're keeping sort of even, and whether that's, you know, equilibrium or stagnation depends on whether you're an optimist or a pessimist. But we are not at all keeping up with population growth. And if you think about the components of population growth, it really is made up of babies being born and immigrants coming to this country. And so one of my great concerns for the American church is our inability to connect, especially with the younger generation and with immigrant populations. What you're seeing in terms of who's growing and declining numerically, evangelical Protestant churches are still growing. Mainline churches are declining, and Catholic churches are declining. And the rate of numeric decline for Catholic and mainline churches is 6 to 7 times faster than it was in the 1990s.
Hmm.
And so that shows you a little bit of that millennial challenge that is happening. All of the groups, when you look at the chart of yearly growth in the 1990s, in the first 5 or 6 years of this decade, and then the last 1 or 2 years, you'll notice that each of them is seeing either a slower growth in the case of evangelicals or a greater decline in the case of mainline and Catholics. The trend line for all three is diminishing. And it tells you that, again, these are challenging times for Christian ministry.
Okay, so when I'm with a pastor whose church seems to be going and blowing, and we talk about the idea of ministry is tough, they almost look at me like, boy, this is a great time for ministry. When I'm with other pastors and they're just, you know, languishing, they say, oh, you know, is there any hope? So I guess my question is twofold. One is, what is a reality check for those of us who maybe don't sense that this is a challenging time? And what is hope you can give us for those of us who feel like, boy, will it ever get better?
Well, let me give you an example. I have sliced and diced these numbers in a number of ways that can help people understand what are some of the unique challenges. And one of the things I did is I divided a large group of churches by their size. Over 100,000 churches was in this sample. And it divided them into churches that had 1 to 49 on Sunday and 50 to 99, et cetera, all the way up to churches over 2,000. There were 10 different categories. And when you do that, what you find out is churches between 100 and 300 are the ones that are declining the most.
Hmm.
And the very smallest churches are actually growing, and the very largest churches are growing. And so when I talk, for example, to a megachurch pastor, one of the things I think it would be helpful for larger churches to realize is that all of these people who are coming to their church, they're not just magically showing up. They are not just all new Christians, even though some megachurches are pretty good at conversion growth. But a lot of these are people that went to other churches and are now deciding to, I'll call it, upgrade to first class, that the ministry levels are higher in a larger church very often, and so they're leaving the smaller and going to the larger. Well, I'm a believer kind of in the free market of American churches, so I'm not suggesting that they're sent back, but I do think people have to realize that in some sense it's just a recirculation of the saints a little bit. And conversion growth, for example, is the most vital type of growth that I think needs to happen in the American church.
Mm-hmm. So if you are in a smaller church and you see the people who are going to the mega down the street because of the kids program, youth program, whatever, what do? How do you compete? What would be some best practice ideas, or are there any?
Well, I have a very simple solution. When I tell pastors, and by the way, 50% of American Protestant church attendance comes from churches between 100 and 300, so it's a huge factor in the future of the American church. What I tell them is, okay, why are the smallest churches growing? And I think the reason for that is because they have the ability to be intimate. So if you go to a church of 35 and if you don't show up on Sunday, probably somebody's going to call you up and say, so what's happening? Are you sick? If you go to a large church, what you're receiving very often is excellence in ministry. They have the money and resources and people to do very excellent ministry. But the mid-sized churches are stuck in the middle. They're too big to be intimate, and they're too small to very often do excellence in ministry. And so then, of course, the people ask, like you just asked, well, what should they do? And I have a very simple answer, Alan. You need to become more intimate and have more excellence in ministry. Mm-hmm. And they kind of had have a sad laugh at that moment. But it really is actually true. There are strategies a mid-sized church can do to think about, how do we connect people together? How do we build better community? How do we have better relationships go on so people feel that they're really engaged and cared for? Especially among younger adults, that sense of community and connection is huge. It's much stronger than it was for baby boomers. And then on the other side, churches have to look at the ministries they do and say, how can we improve the ministry quality of our ministries? And when I talk about ministry quality, I mean the ability of the Holy Spirit to work in people's lives, to change their lives. So it's not just like human activity. It's really allowing the God activity to happen through the ministries of their church. And most middle-sized churches, what they probably need to do is they need to put to bed some ministries that have in the past had a good lifespan but are sort of draining energy now, and focus on what are the critical ministries that we could do well enough that we could feel like God could really work at transforming lives through our church. And so that's kind of a simple answer, but I think for a lot of mid-sized churches, if they would just follow these two strategies, become more intimate, and select a few ministries that you can be really good at, that would really improve their ability to do ministry in this new world.
I think that is great advice. I really do, because I think it is impossible for these, you know, how should we say it? Well, even in the corporate retail range, you know, when you talk about the mom and pops going out of business because of the big box, it is impossible to compete in those ways. So then you have to move to a boutique or a niche. What can we offer that's so different, so unique, and so powerful, and think more niche? So I think that's a great advice. So we have a couple minutes left. Talk to us maybe out in front, in the future, as you see the trends happening now, what can we expect more of?
Well, I always think if you don't change your behaviors, you should not expect the future trends to change.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can tell you, looking out in the future, 2020, the American church population will be about 14%.
Wow.
So in other words, in 1990 it was 20.4, in 2000 it was 18.7, and 17.4 now it's going to be 14% in 2020, and probably about 10% by 2050. Now that is if we keep doing it the way we're doing things. And so in my book, and when I do presentations, by the way, I also have a DVD called Where Are the People, that's kind of the visual version of the book for people who perhaps don't like to read as much, or pastors who would like to show it to their leaders, that sort of thing. And there are five different things I talk about. One is I talk about we need to learn how the culture is changing and how we can adjust to that cultural change to continue to do good ministry. Secondly, established churches need to learn how to be both healthy and missional. And the churches that are established that are going to do well are going to learn both sides of that equation and learn to live out that in their ministry. Thirdly, we have to plant a lot more new churches. Over the last 15 to 20 years, and this is the kind of professional area I work in, church planting has actually made a lot of progress. But if we were in the American church to just keep up with population growth, we would have to plant 2,900 more churches than we're doing right now.
Hmm.
We're planting about 4,000 a year that survive at least a year right now. And so that has to increase considerably. And the place where that has to happen really is established churches realizing that just as they were planted by somebody in the past, they themselves need to ask ourselves, how could we plant another church that would have a long-term ministry in a nearby community like ours has had? And then the fourth and fifth thing that I focus on, and I actually think this is the most important, and I devoted the last quarter of the book, so a substantial part of the book, to talking about this. And that is, I think in the world of Christendom, in the past world where people assumed everybody kind of knew the Christian story, we sort of got in the habit of talking about Jesus in what I would call a secondhand manner. It's as if, Alan, I've never known you at all, and somebody described you to me. I could know a little bit about you, but I really would not know you unless I could get a lot better description of you or actually meet you in the flesh. In the New Testament, we find that the Gospels obviously describe Jesus in the flesh. But when you read the epistles, you will find that as well. They are always pushing people to look back to Jesus, to think about what he did, to think about his actions, the life he lived, the words he said, the mission he had. And I think that's a huge thing for the American church, that we need to refocus on the message and mission of Jesus. And so the book and the DVD conclude by talking about what are the five messages of the gospel and what are the five missions. And I think if we're going to have a holistic impact on our culture, we have to get away from a rather narrow gospel and go back to the large and robust and powerful and revolutionary gospel that very often was a historical part of the American church.
That's great. That's great, Dave. What I like about your spirit is you're not just a numbers guy looking at the glass half empty, but you're really saying here's the positive points and let's get back to the basics. And so I like your solutions and your positive attitude. Thank you so much for being a part of it. Dave Olson is the author of The American Church in Crisis. If you'd like to learn more about Rev Magazine, go to rev.org and discover the most practical church leader periodical. I'm Alan Nelson, wishing you God's best in your ministry.